Well, I'm bad for first time in a worship service. Well, we are going to continue our lessons tonight on the journey of Jesus. And tonight we're going to look at his return. It's either going to be a tremendous joy, or it's going to be an eye-opening, fearful experience. That's where us remaining faithful and standing fast and remaining true will come in handy. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 16, it gives a description. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." These are clear-cut promises that Paul is laying out for Christians. "Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." There is a lot of comfort in these words that the Christians in Thessalonica, Paul's letters to them, this first letter was kind of urging them to remain faithful. This congregation had kind of emerged under a lot of turmoil. Paul himself had been beaten nearly to death right outside the city. And what a selling point to people that weren't Christians yet. This is something you have to look forward to. You know, the people that were stirring up crowds against Christians. And they were worried about, you know, being faithful until death. When is he going to come? And as the time went by, they're worried, well, what about brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so who have already passed away? Will they miss out on this? And Paul assured them in these simple verses, those that are in Christ, the first ones to rise are the dead in Christ. They're not going to be left behind. They don't have to worry about just because they're buried that they're hidden from Christ. Christ conquered death, as Preston talked about this evening. He conquered death. He knows that they're there. And the second letter to the Thessalonians was reassuring them that Jesus will come. And it may not be as fast as we were expecting, but he's coming. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, starting in verse 6, we see not only, in 1 Thessalonians, we saw how Jesus was going to come. That he will come in the clouds, and it's going to be, he's going to come with the trumpet of God, you know, announcing that, you know, that he's coming, come with a great shout of the archangel. And in 2 Thessalonians, we get a pretty good description by Paul what he's going to do when he returns. And starting in verse 6, it says, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you and to give you who are troubled rest. With us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We sing a song farther along, and the words of that song is sometimes we get down, we look around at people that are so sinful, just prospering, living their lives happy as a clam and unaware and unaffected seemingly by the problems of the world. And sometimes Christians are plagued daily with problems. I was reading a thing today that in Nigeria, there are Christians being killed daily. I think they were saying an average of 35 a day being killed, because not for something they've done, for who they are. Because they're Christians, they claim Christ, and they're being killed. Jesus is not going to forget those things we go through, that he's going to remember, and what he's going to do, in flaming fire, he's going to take vengeance on those that persecute his people. And there's two kinds of people mentioned here. Those that do not know God and those that do not obey the gospel. Two totally different kinds of people here. Those that do not know God are people that aren't Christians, that maybe haven't been taught. We are not going to be able to rely on, well, I didn't know. Nobody told me. Paul says he's taking vengeance on people that don't know God. It is our responsibility. Paul says in Romans that it is very evident just by looking around that there is a God. You have no excuse. That's not a good excuse in a court of law. Well, I didn't know. It's our responsibility. It totally wipes out an argument by some people. I've heard religious teachings in the world that people aren't accountable for what they didn't know. Well, if that's the case, in the words of the great American actor Elmer Fudd, be very, very quiet. It'd be better not to tell people about the gospel. If you can get away with not knowing, don't share it with anybody, because then they're saved. Paul refutes that idea with these verses. The other group of people that Jesus is going to take fiery vengeance on are those that do not obey the gospel, that don't live in it. Jesus himself said in Matthew 7, you know, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. They thought they were Christians. They thought they were doing the things. Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? Didn't we do X, Y, and Z? He says, depart from me. I never knew you. You're not obeying the gospel. Goes on to say in verse 9, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. I want to pause right there. That in and of itself is scary enough to forever and ever be apart from the presence of the Lord. We are within God's presence as obedient Christians constantly. We are a prayer away from the throne of God. And Paul is telling the Christians in Thessalonica that these will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. And he goes on to say in 10, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. It is going to be the great I told you so day. Those people that maybe we've had discussions with that didn't think that, you know, all I got to do is believe in Jesus. I'm good. It's going to be told you so. And Paul is making it very clear that this is what's going to happen to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2, Paul describes how all this is going to come. Or when, rather. We've seen how. You know, going to come in the clouds with a shout of the archangel, the trumpet of God. We've seen what he's going to do. Here's the when. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. We don't know. Many of those in Thessalonica were misunderstanding some of the teachings, thinking it might be tomorrow. Well, it might be tomorrow. It might be later tonight. Some people had quit their jobs and just waiting. Twiddling the thumbs, waiting. Not doing earthly responsibilities. Not doing things needed. Just waiting and then being disappointed when it's not today. And when it's not tomorrow. I look just in the 20th century on how many predictions there has been. Dozens of people. The end times are near. You know, Jesus is going to come an X date. And then people gear up, they're ready, and then it falls flat on their face when it doesn't come about. One thing we know, it's going to come like a thief in the night. When is that going to be? I have no idea. But it will be like a thief in the night. No one will know. Hence, we better be prepared. The Apostle Peter says the same thing. It's not just Paul. Peter, in 2 Peter 3, verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. I believe you, Peter. I bet you that will be a great noise. And the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. I love camping. Love sitting around a campfire. Curtis, when you're sitting around a campfire, you can hear it. You can hear the fire. Have you ever seen a house on fire? It emits noise. Have you ever heard a forest fire? It sounds just, it's the noise is immense. That's just a house. That's just a forest. Imagine what the noise is going to be when God burns up the world with fervent heat and fire. Oh, he won't do that. God's love. He won't do that. He's demonstrated that he'll destroy the earth. He's done it before. He used water the first time. He's going to use fire this time. One of the things from these few verses that we've looked at, some of the things that these scriptures don't teach, that Jesus will be starting a 1,000-year reign on an earthly kingdom. Doesn't teach that. But yet there are people out there that you'll hear about the 1,000-year reign. I never saw any of that in those verses. I never see anything about people getting a second chance. Oh, this is the time when you get the... You've seen me play at golf. I'm not a golfer. What's it called? A mulligan? A do-over. There's no religious do-overs. Once this happens, we get do-overs all the time through repentance. But once he comes, it's not like we get a second chance to get it right. And there's this confirmation that all one has to do that believe in Jesus. It doesn't teach that. It doesn't confirm that. There's a lot of people that are banking everything. All I've got to do is believe in Jesus. Nowhere is that taught in the scriptures. And these passages plainly teach that fiery vengeance are going to be taken on people that don't know God. So it's our responsibility to get that message out to people, those that don't know it. And then the other group are people that don't obey the gospel. And all we can do is teach and encourage. But this concludes the lesson tonight about his return. We got one more lesson, and that's judgment. And it will complete the journey of Jesus. We started this study on Sunday nights in August, I think, of 2024, about a little over a year and a half ago. It's been very beneficial to me, at least, to do this study. Hopefully, you've gleaned some information out of it. But the lesson is yours. Next month, when I have the opportunity to speak, we're going to look at the judgment that Jesus will be part of. If you need to respond to the invitation through prayers, through baptism, through repentance, whatever your need, please come forward. It was mentioned we need to keep Kent and Lagai in our prayers. Also, we talked to Barbara last night, was in the hospital with back pain and her sciatic nerve and so forth. Don't know if she's still there or not. She's home, okay. But she's probably still not feeling great, so keep Barbara in your prayers. Get your flags out. Put them up tomorrow talk about sacrifice for the people that have sacrificed over the last 250 years for our great country. So even more so than that was the sacrifice Jesus made for our sins. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward while Sam leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing together.